Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to talk about a person they identified. You know, just, you know, we as a nation, we just went through a situation that really should have caused a lot of people to, if you haven't already, do a lot of soul searching and thinking and having some empathy. I mean, the Bible says for us to mourn with those who mourn. And right now we mourn with Diane and John Foley, the parents of James Foley, journalist who was literally beheaded with a knife on video. And many are saying it's a terrorist attack on America. It's a declaration of war. You take someone from our country and you cut their head off, and then you call out our president on video. And come on, you know, this enough is enough. And when you see this type of demonic stuff happening, and this is and this is the fruition of what's been happening for a while. I mean, we've reported and shared about the Christian babies, children that were being beheaded. We talked about the Christians that were being forced in Iraq up Sinjar Mountain because their homes were being stolen, their property was being confiscated, their wives were being taken as concubines and raped repeatedly. And so they flee to a mountain for safety where there is no water, no food, and many people died of dehydration. Children died of dehydration. We showed you a segment where a mother takes a medicine cap, Steve, and she fills it up every hour with a little bit of water, and that's what how she kept her kids alive, by giving them a little bit of water every hour. And we're complaining about it being hot. You know what I mean? It just gets you to really focus on what matters.
Yeah, and that's the huge thing, because it's just, there's so much, and you really have to look at like our culture, and it's just like the movies, the images, and so often it's just like we become so desensitized and forget the fact that this was real. This really happened.
It's not a movie.
There are lives that are just absolutely devastated, siblings that are devastated, coworkers that are devastated. There are still people right now that, you know, we're going to read a letter that you were talking about in a later program. And it's like, there are still people right now that are in custody in a non-safe area. And it's just like, they don't have the comfort of carpet. They don't have the comfort of their screen TV or their phone. It's just like, breaking away from the entertainment and the comfort, and realizing reality is happening right now.
Yeah, and it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
We want to show you a picture of this gentleman. His name is Abdel Majed Abdel Barry. He's a 23-year-old rapper from Great Britain, from the UK, and they're pretty close to identifying him as the killer, the murderer. And then we have another picture of him as well. This is a side profile, and you can almost see in the eyes. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. And and voice recognition, you know, Siri, it does work. I mean, this is how they're able to track down. They're able to look at recordings of voice, and amazing. Wow. That miles away, with that quick speed of time, they're able to identify someone, and they're pretty much, you know, closing in and saying, this is officially it. But the suspect, they say, you know, he left his parents a $1 million home, and they call him a homegrown jihadist, and that he took off to Syria to help ISIS fight in Syria. Now, reports are that there's close to 500 fighters in joining with ISIS from the UK that have passports, that can come in and back out of you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria, back into UK, and guess what? They can fly on over to the United States too, you know? They can come through our borders, as we're going to talk about more in today's program. And it gets you to thinking, man, this is a serious business. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more specifically about this person, about some of the things he rapped about, and actually who his father is. May or may not surprise you, but they're closing on in. And we want to see the killer face justice. And we were talking before the break about the executioner, the murderer, the person who beheaded journalist James Foley. and how British intelligence, MI5, Steve?
Yeah, there's two of them, MI5 and MI6.
MI5 and MI6, British intelligence agency, they're closing in and identifying, and they have a suspect. His name is Abdel Mahed Abdel Barry, and he is a rapper from London. Reports are that he left his parents a million-dollar home as he went to fight with ISIS in Syria, and that his father, Barry is one of six children, but his father is Abdul Barry, an Egyptian militant who is facing terrorism charges in connection with Al-Qaeda and the twin 1998 bombings at the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania that killed 224 people. So who knew? Wow. And so they're closing on him, and they're identifying him and doing whatever they can do to bring him to justice. But they also talk about some of the things that he rapped about and what he referred to in his raps. He's referring to his mother, and he says, you always knew what was best for me. I hope I die before I see you. Rest in peace. He also says in July of 2013 in his Facebook, it's called the Unknown Mixtape, where he continues to say, I want to make sure we get this for you. Here I am with my bro Tabernacle will be the last music I'm ever releasing. I have left everything for the sake of Allah. Huh. So he releases his last mixtape and says, I'm leaving everything for the sake of Allah. And you got to ask yourself the question. I mean, if someone's willing to leave everything for Allah and to be a killer, don't those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, my goodness, we should be able to do the same, if not more, right?
Right.
I mean, and this just goes to show you what has happened. Apparently, they report that there's been a progression in his life where he's able to, you know, do that. But this is what he tweeted on August the 13th. He says of himself, he tweeted a photo of himself in Iraq holding a severed head with the caption, chilling with my homies or what's left of him. This is the depravity. This is the sickness. The Twitter account was shut down. It was closed. And these are the things we're looking at. Listen, we need to bring ISIS to judgment. We got to go out there and take them out. Because not just for James Foley, but for the countless other Christians, Yazidis, and even the peaceful Muslims that these guys have just butchered and mowed down. And you take a man like James Foley, the journalist, this is a hero, a beloved son, my understanding, a patriot, guy who just, you know, loved our country, and he risked his life day in and day out. He was in Libya. And they almost were going to get him out of Libya. Looked like he was trapped there. He gets out of Libya and goes right back in. Mm-hmm. He goes right back in to get us, firsthand accounts. And one report is, and one of the things said about James Foley is that once the war starts, you lose all the truth. So you got to get there before the war breaks out. And so he was willing to put himself, like I said, in harm's way. And Steve, some things that you and I talked about, where his mother, who's had two other sons who were in the military, a daughter who's a nurse in the military, she would be nauseous and sick to her stomach, fearing for the lives of her sons who were in battle or at war, when she didn't realize
that James was actually more at harm.
Talk to us about that. Why would he be more at harm?
Well, I think about just him as a reporter, and I was able to just to kind of just look more into some of his past reports of just being in the middle of a patrol attached to basically an army unit in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And it's like, you got to think about if somebody is on an equipped patrol, they've got a full armament, they've got weapon systems, they've got magazines, everything that they need to defense.
And Steve's a former Marine, so he's giving us factual information.
Yeah, and it's just like they're able to return fire when they receive fire. So when enemies are coming against and ambushing a patrol, James is there. James Foley is there with a flak of Kevlar and a camera.
What's a flak of Kevlar for those who don't know?
A flak is basically your bulletproof vest, and a Kevlar is your helmet. And he doesn't have a gun.
No gun.
He doesn't have magazines. He doesn't have flares. He doesn't have anything else to defend himself. He has a camera. And that's what I think is just all week what I've just been carrying, and it's just like that revelation, that perspective. And in the interview that they had with his parents, his father says that we so demand the news, we demand what's going on, but we totally take for granted that the lives are sacrificed, the lives that are totally poured out for us to have that perspective of the news. And it's like, this was James. He willingly, and it's like, I think about so many parents or friends that look at veterans, they look at service members, and they say, how can you go back? How can you go back and continue to fight the war? And James said the same thing. And it's just like, he's like, I found my calling. Even after being in captivity in Libya.
His passion, right?
Yeah. Even after being in captivity in Libya, he still went right back because he says, I have to tell this. I have to make this known. And they said that he, and I can't think of the exact words, but he gave a, like a personality to the soldiers. He gave a, he gave a humanization to them because he gave that intimate lens that so many don't see. And so often it's like you can see about what's going on in the war and all of a sudden just think about whatever you think about, but forget about the lives and the very hands that are holding that camera. And that's what we got to get back to. It's just like, this is the life that James chose, that James chose to live.
His parents in a 30-minute interview continue to say that, you know, the testimony of his own life, he said, we just saw him transform before us to be more like Jesus. And they continue to say how their son, this little boy, they said, they just seen over the years and throughout his reporting and throughout his life and what he was able to do, to see a compassion, a love. One story that they share about him that I thought was so touching was they share, because the reports as hostages have been released, they've been able to call James' parents and be able to tell them things they've observed, messages that James wanted to get out. In fact, we're going to be sharing with you briefly a letter that was memorized by a fellow hostage who called his parents up immediately upon release to share with them what, you know, the letter that he memorized for them and that James wrote. And one account is where a soldier, not a soldier, but another person that was taken captive because James was older, was able to be there for him. Apparently, the stress was getting too much, and then the person was breaking down, and all James did was just hold him. Just hold him, and you know, it's just so touching to me because we undervalue the simple things in life, a kind look, a kind word. You know, I often say, listen, it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. Tell the waitress, hi.
Yeah.
Tell the person, you know, you're paying your gas. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. You know, it's okay to pat someone on the back and just give them a hug and say, hey, it's going to be okay. And so many people I've noticed just go through life. You don't know what's happening to your coworker today. You have no idea what's happening to the person driving right alongside of you. You don't know the tragedy that they're going through. You don't know what's happening in their homes. You don't know what's happening to their kids. They could be dying of an illness. And sometimes we misread people's, you know, behaviors. We have no empathy. We can't relate. We can't understand that they're going through it. They're going through it. And, you know, I've grown in empathy as I've realized that I've gone through quite a bit of things myself, and I'm able to say, and I'm trying to do it better, to say, hey, it's, don't count that against them. You know, the Bible says it's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. And what that means is that when people offend us, it's okay to say, oh, I'm not going to count that. I'm just going to let that thing go. It's not going to stick on me like Velcro. I'm just going to let it go. And we can do that when we start operating in empathy and start realizing that, you know, people go through it and that we need to be there for them. And so this man was just there. He was compassionate. And we need to stand. We need to be together with his parents as they go through this as a nation. And, you know, what was adding insult to injury to me is that the president was actually on vacation, not something we're, you know, making up or something that we're saying disparaging. She was on vacation, and he's playing golf, and he shares briefly about what occurred, and then he just goes back to playing golf. There's no statement about what we're going to do. There's no, I mean, it's very brief. And I think about, you know, well, is this an isolated incident? Is this, you know, we give him more time? And then you go back and you look at, well, Pastor Saeed Abedini, an American citizen, pastor, in jail, in prison today, over a year, in Iran's Evin prison, a notorious, hellacious place, and he's an American citizen, not forgotten by those who love him in the Christian community, but forgotten by our own government. We haven't gone in there to get him out. Mm-hmm. Was this an isolated incident of not maybe doing as much or what we can do for James? Well, I look back at Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, mm-hmm. a Marine who fought for our country, has just recently come back from the front lines, until today, 100 plus days, a third of a year, he's sitting in a Mexican prison. Mm-hmm. He was hogtied, tortured, went to court, and he's still there. Mm-hmm. And you would think.
For making a wrong turn.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, because I left that out. For making a wrong turn, and he's in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And had called for help once he got there and said they couldn't help him.
How tragic is that? You think, man, I served my country. You know, I'm a Marine. I make a phone call. Please, come get me, as I was doing something for you. I was defending you over there. And I was halfway across the world. You're like right up the road. Can you just come get me out of here? You know what I'm saying?
Literally. They can do.
And they say there was nothing that he can do. And this is Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico.
Yeah.
And then I think about Miriam Ibrahim. Yes, she was Sudanese, but her husband was an American. And she was in prison, locked up in chains, gave birth in prison for being a Christian. And it took nations in the East to go ahead and rescue her and get her out. And finally, she arrived in the United States. And I just think that we can do certainly a whole lot more. And the message is, my goodness, if you're an American, don't get caught overseas.
Or anywhere.
Your fault or not your fault, because it seems that this administration is not going to come get you. And I think about what James wrote. This is what he says in his letter. He says, I remember going to the mall with my dad, a very long bike ride with my mom. I remember so many great family times that take me away from this prison. Dreams of family and friends take me away, and happiness fills my heart. He says, I know you are thinking of me and praying for me. That's a good feeling when you know people that are praying for you, and you can actually feel prayers. I felt them before, You can feel them. He says, I'm so thankful, and I feel you especially when I pray. And I pray for you to stay strong and to believe. I really feel I can touch you even in this darkness when I pray. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of prayer. That's the power of being able to communicate with God. That God will connect us supernaturally. There's no land, there's no space or amount of time that will stop prayer. Prayer has no limit. You can't stop it. Mm-hmm. And God's ears are not dull. He hears. And so our hearts go out to James Foley family. Our hearts go out to those that are still in that ISIS prison. And we just pray for their release. And we pray that our nation and the nations of the world together do something to eradicate this horrific group, these jihadists that are literally killing Christians, beheading them, and spreading their hate.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.